go to God in a word of prayer. Lord, help us to hide your word in our heart, to be filled with your word, that we can know you, Jesus, personally, and live our lives fully for you. Thank you, Lord. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen. In the Hebrew language, they call it the net ketef. In Greek, it's the harpazo. In Latin, it's the rapturo or the rapti. And in English, it's called the rapture. Isn't that interesting? People say, well, the word rapture is not in the Bible, and it isn't actually in the Bible. Now, it was in the original Catholic Bibles, because as they were translated from Latin to English. But now the word is caught up, and it's taken from 1 Thessalonians. We read it today. The Lord will come down and descend, and the last trump, we will be caught up to meet him in the air. Now, people have a lot of thoughts about the rapture or being caught up. Some believe it's going to happen mid-trib or before the tribulation. Some believe it's going to happen mid-trib or during the middle of the seven-year tribulation. Others believe it's going to happen at the end of the tribulation, post-trib. And then there's those who believe it's not going to happen at all. Who's right? Do you know that when people start talking about it, even among believers, I mean, strong believers, sometimes that gets to be very contentious. Because it's really funny. Strong believers have really pretty strong ideas about when it's going to happen or how it's going to happen. And a lot of fighting's been done over it. But Paul says, give me 1 Thessalonians up on the board, if you would, please. Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15 through 17. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. Terry, if you would please, go on. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Next verse, please. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up, net ketef, harpazo, rapturo, rapture, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Paul also writes this. He says that this will happen at the last trump. I think it's Corinthians. Terry, would you give me that one that was read today? I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed at the last trump. Now, the Apostle Paul was a Pharisee. And in Judaism, the last trump is the last trumpet call that is made on Rosh Hashanah, or the appointed time of trumpets. during Rosh Hashanah, or the appointed time of trumpets, they'll blow the trumpet 100 times. And the last trumpet call is the loud one and the longest one. Mark, would you bring your shofar up here, and would you just show us what that last trumpet call, it's going to be held out long and loud. Amen. Thank you, Mark. Yeah, I said, don't faint, Mark, when you're up there doing that. When Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments, the Bible talks about the trumpet of God being blown loud and long. And that's called the last trump. But there are some other last trumps also. But they're not known as the last trump, and that one is. And that one is heard during Rosh Hashanah, or the appointed time of trumpets. Now, Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour when he shall come back. However, that's also a Jewish expression, because no one knew the day or the hour that the feast or the appointed time of trumpets started. They didn't know if it was going to be on the first day of that month or the second day, because it only started when they could see the first sliver of the new moon. And so they celebrate 2 days because they do not know the day or the hour when the feast or the appointed time of trumpets is. Now today, however, we can figure it out with computers and the rotation of the moon and the sun and everything, but back then they could not. And we do not know the year. But Jesus said this. He said there's going to be a bunch of things happening in the world. Pay attention to them. Watch. Watch so that you're not catch unaware. The Bible says there's going to be a bunch of things happening in the heavens. And we have all that stuff taking place now. So we are 2,000 years closer to his second coming than they were when the Apostle Paul was here, when Jesus walked this earth. And he says, watch, pay attention, be aware. Don't run out of gasoline. Don't run out of oil. Be aware, watch. And he calls us to do that all the time. Now, what is so interesting is that God in the Bible gave 7 appointed times. Jesus fulfilled the first 4 right on the very day and hour of their fulfillment, that they needed to be fulfilled. He died on the cross on Passover, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when the Passover lamb was being sacrificed for the sins of the nation. And the high priest, when he sacrificed the Passover lamb, cried, "It is finished." And Jesus on the cross cried, "It is finished." Then he's put into the grave, unleavened bread. He rises from the grave on Easter Sunday morning, or first the morning of first fruits. And he sends us his Holy Spirit right on the morning of Pentecost. There are still 3 feasts or 3 appointed times left to be fulfilled. And they can be fulfilled a couple different times. They don't have to just be fulfilled once. So the question is, will this catching away, this rapture, happen on the Feast of Trumpets or Rosh Hashanah? Well, he just wants us to be aware that it sure could. It could. What year? We don't know. Doesn't give us the year, because he doesn't want us to grow to grow lazy. He wants us to always be looking forward to his coming. The Bible calls Jesus a bridegroom, and he's coming back for his bride, the church. In the bulletin today, most of you were given a little picture card of Jesus knocking at your heart's door. Got that card? If you look closely at it, you can actually see the light going around here is actually in the shape of a type of Valentine heart, but it's to represent the door of our heart. And what a bridegroom would do, and this is the parallel. In Judaism, everything in Judaism is parallel to what Jesus is going to do because he grew up in that culture, he was a Jew, he taught in that culture, and we can look at what happened there to see what's going to happen next. But what a bridegroom would do is he would go to the door of the girl that he wanted to marry, to the bride, and knock on the door. There he is knocking on the door. He knocks on the door of our heart. If she was interested, she would open the door, and he would come in. Jesus knocks on our heart's door. If we're interested, we open the door. And then he would propose to her, and he would do it by taking a cup of wine, pouring it into a cup, taking a sip, placing it on the table, and if she wanted to accept his proposal, she would drink from it. Now, look what we do at communion. We come up to the communion table, and what we are actually in reality saying is, yes, Lord, I want you to be a part of me. I accept your invitation. We're remembering him. Now, some people take communion, it's just a ritual thing to do. But what he wants us to do is to remember him. Remember what it's all about. We are taking the body and blood of Christ into our lives. We are becoming one with him. That is what communion stands for. And then he would say to his bride, okay, they were actually, at that point, the marriage vows were sealed. Mary was that way with Joseph, but they would not yet come together. He would say to his bride, well, I'm going back to my father's house, and I'm going to get a place ready for us. What did Jesus say? In my father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. But I'll be back. And he would tell her that he's coming back. And it was her job then to be ready for him at any time because she did not know when he would be coming back. Well, the story I read to you today was about 10 virgins that went out to meet the bridegroom. They knew he was coming back soon. And so they each took a lamp. Just like this. This is a replica of the little lamps that they held. They went out to meet him. Each of them had a lamp. But the Bible says 5 were wise and 5 were foolish, and that the wise ones took oil. Extra oil, like the extra gasoline for the boat. And the foolish, it said, didn't have any oil. And they waited. And we're waiting for Christ to come back now. But while they waited, all 10 of them fell asleep. Well, we fall asleep too. You know? We fall asleep. Sometimes we get so involved in doing this, we're not thinking about the Lord. We're doing our own thing. And they're all here waiting. And then all of a sudden, a call is made. Here comes the bridegroom. Usually when the bridegroom came, it would be accompanied by a trumpet call. And they would know that the bridegroom is coming. And when they heard that call, and the scripture we read today said, the Lord will ascend in his voice. And then the trumpet call of God, there's the voice, here I am. Blow the horn, he's coming. They got up. and they trimmed their lamps. Now, I always thought, trimmed, what does that mean? Light their lamp? Because, and they didn't have matches. I've got a, you know, really convenient thing here. They didn't have matches, so maybe one or two of them had kept their lamps burning because they had to have fire. But trimmed does not mean light the lamp. In the Greek, it means to decorate it, you know, to ornament it, to make it look good, okay? Same means the same thing in the Hebrew. In Webster's Dictionary of 1828, Webster says, to trim a lamp, actually says this right in there, to trim a lamp means to add oil to it. So here the wise ones added oil to their lamp. The foolish ones didn't have any oil. And then the lamps were lit. Hard to light them, but once they're going, they do not go out because those wicks are really soaking up that oil. And they make a pretty nice little flame. When this gets going, I'll show you what it does. And the foolish lit their lamps. Now, even these wicks, if they have some oil on them, they will they'll burn a little bit, but they'll go right out. And the foolish said, give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out. Burn a little while, and then they just kind of go out. The wise said, we can't give you any of our oil, because if we do, we won't have enough. See how these burn? They just burn really well. It's a little too much wick there, but I mean, the wind just doesn't blow them out. And there they are. The wise said, go and buy some for yourself. And so the five foolish ones went off to buy for themselves. Now, Terry, would you give me that verse from Proverbs that we read today? What does the oil represent in this case? Well, here in Proverbs it says, buy truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. The foolish couldn't give him any oil because the oil represented the Word of God, and you can't sell the Word of God. Everybody has to get that for themselves, or it's the Holy Spirit who gives it to us. The Bible says, Jesus said, I must go, but I'll send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and He will bring to your remembrance everything I've taught you. That's the truth and the wisdom and instruction and understanding, and teach you instruction, everything you need to know. The foolish did not have God's word in their heart. The foolish did not know did not have a personal relationship with the bridegroom, or in this case, with Jesus. So the five wise virgins, they take their lamps, and these lamps just keep right on burning. And they went to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. And then the five foolish ones, they'd gone into town and they got some extra oil and came back, and they're knocking on the door. Let us in, let us in. And what is the response that is given? I do not know you. They missed it. Who were those foolish virgins? And why didn't their lamps have any oil? I don't know if they just picked up a lamp in the house, ran with it, didn't even check it. The lamp, the wick probably had some oil on it, but it kept going out. In the church, who would be the foolish people in Christianity that maybe don't know Jesus? They know of him, but don't have a personal relationship with him. Maybe carry their Bible to church, but never open it and read it. Maybe go through the whole week, and they're good people. Do you know that you could not tell the difference between the foolish and the wise because they all had lamps and they were all waiting? But the foolish didn't have God's word, didn't have the oil, and the wise did. Now, paralleling this with God's kingdom, it didn't mean that those foolish were lost. That's why we have a tribulation coming, so that people can again find the Lord through all the hardship that will take place in that day. They may miss a lot of his benefits. They may miss being caught up, but they can still find him. But the price will be heavier. God wants us to be ready all the time for his coming. Whether he comes at the beginning of the tribulation or the middle or the end, wherever it is, wherever you believe it's going to be, he wants us always to be ready. And if we know him personally, know Jesus Christ personally, on that day when that trumpet blows, we're going to hear it. And we're going to be with the Lord forever and ever throughout all eternity. We don't know the day. We don't know the year. But even if he doesn't come in our lifetime, we're going to all stand before him pretty soon. He's going to give each of us a call pretty soon. Are we ready? All we got to do is know Jesus Christ personally. And most of us here, if not everyone I know, does. But if you have friends that don't, or family members that don't, pray for them, that they would come to know Jesus. Because our prayers are powerful, and having a personal relationship, part of that is praying anyway. So praise the Lord. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. And Lord, help each one of us here to be ready for you, whether you come in our lifetime or whether you call us home someday sooner than that. Lord Jesus, help us to grow in our relationship with you. Lord, give us a desire to want to be closer to you. And I thank you, Jesus, that you love us and you're with us. In your wonderful, precious name, amen.